Hello and welcome. Happy Independence Day. You're watching this special broadcast coming to you live from Srinagar. The Kashmir Valley today was, along with the rest of the country, paying special attention to what the Prime Minister would say as the valley enters its 30th day of unrest and lockdown. The Prime Minister, however, had a sharp, scathing hit back at Pakistan's attempts to fuel the Kashmir fire and meddle in the unrest over here. Obviously, in a tectonic and paradigm shift in India's policy, the Prime Minister has decided to retaliate against Pakistan's meddling in the Kashmir issue by openly going on the offensive on human rights violations and atrocities by Pakistan in not just Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, but also in Balochistan. The Prime Minister building up on the comments he made at the all-party meeting on Kashmir, saying that ever since he made those comments, the people of Balochistan, along with activists from Gilgit-Baltistan, have been writing in to thank him. On the program tonight, we'll be looking at this tectonic shift and what it means. How far will India go in raising Balochistan? Will it be moral support? Will India raise it at international fora, or is this India's strategic attempt to retaliate on Pakistan's interference in Kashmir? All of this is coming on a day when the valley was reminded about the shadow of the gun. Even as Mehbooba Mufti was speaking on Independence Day at the Bakshi Stadium, there was a militant strike in downtown Srinagar in Nohata. One commanding officer of the CRPF fighting from the front was martyred in that attack. Three others are critical and have been airlifted to Delhi to the All India Medical Institute. Six others are still in hospital at the Army Base Hospital in Srinagar. And the day has ended with a civilian death in clashes with security forces, firing, claiming that civilian. So the morning begins with that militant strike and the day ends with the death of one more civilian, reminding us of the shadow of the gun hanging over the Kashmir Valley. All right, let's get started now with looking at what the Prime Minister said on Balochistan. For the first time from the ramparts of the Red Fort, the Prime Minister hitting back at Pakistan's Kashmir fire with literally the Balochistan bomb.
पिछले कुछ दिनों से बलूचिस्तान के लोगों ने, गिलगित के लोगों ने, पाक ऑक्यूपाइड कश्मीर के लोगों ने, वहां के नागरिकों ने जिस प्रकार से मुझे बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद दिया है, जिस प्रकार से मेरा आभार व्यक्त किया है, मेरे प्रति उन्होंने जो सद्भावना जताई है, दूर दूर बैठे हुए लोग जिस धरती को मैंने देखा नहीं है, जिन लोगों को विषय में मेरी कभी मुलाकात नहीं हुई है, लेकिन ऐसे दूर सुदूर बैठे हुए लोग हिंदुस्तान के एक प्रधानमंत्री को अभिनंदन करते हैं, उसका आदर करते हैं, तो मेरे 125 करोड़ देशवासियों का आदर, वो मेरे 125 करोड़ देशवासियों का सम्मान है। और इसलिए ये सम्मान का भाव, धन्यवाद का भाव करने वाले बलूचिस्तान के लोगों का, गिलगित के लोगों का, पाक के कब्जे वाले कश्मीर के लोगों का मैं आज तहे दिल से आभार व्यक्त करना चाहता हूं।
All right, so a tectonic shift in the Prime Minister's and rather India's policy vis-a-vis Pakistan, returning Pakistan's Kashmir fire and Pakistan's attempt to provoke by raising Azadi for Kashmir on its own national day, with Prime Minister Modi talking about Balochistan and the rights of the people there from the ramparts of the Red Fort. How will this paradigm shift in India's policy play out? And was the Prime Minister talking in a language which is very different, not just from past Prime Ministers, but from his own ally, the Jammu and Kashmir Chief Minister Mehbooba Mufti, here in Srinagar? Let's introduce our panel. From the BJP, Sambit Patra is with us. From the National Conference, its leader Junaid Mattu is with us. We're also joined by Ambassador G. Parthasarthi, well-known diplomat. Also on the program, Pawan Verma, who's now with the JDU but has been a diplomat himself. Also on the program from Pakistan today, we're joined by Daniel Aziz, who's a senior leader with Nawaz Sharif's party, the PMLN. And on London on Skype, we're joined by Hamal Haider Baloch, one of the most prominent faces of the Baloch separatist, as they call themselves, the Baloch Freedom Movement. I will start with you, Ambassador Parthasarathy, before we slip into the politics of this and the party politics. How do you see the Prime Minister returning Pakistan's Kashmir fire, its attempt to fuel unrest here in the valley, by going all out on the offensive on Balochistan?
Barkha, I would say, I wouldn't go to say the extent of saying it's a change of policy. I think the aim of policy still remains to have a good neighborly, friendly relationship with Pakistan like we have with all other neighbors. But certainly there is a shift in the means we are prepared to use to achieve that. At this stage, I suppose what we mean is, to use a Pakistani phrase, extend moral and political support to the Baloch cause. After all, Balochistan also was absorbed into Pakistan in violation of an agreement that Mr. Jinnah himself signed to make the Khan of Kalat the independent ruler of Balochistan. So it has its own history. It has its own struggles since 2003, which was the fourth struggle for independence or Azadi, call it what you may. Balochistan has lost. There are 14,000 Balochis who are missing, according to calculations within Pakistan itself, after they've been detained by the army. Queries about them by the Supreme Court have not been replied to within Pakistan. So I think what we are saying is we must proceed on this relationship in this direction, but certainly taking into consideration the fact that the policies we've followed thus far have only resulted in a greater amount of terrorism with a totally unapologetic Pakistan. I think the signal was called for.
But, you know, you say it's not a change of policy, but I don't remember the last time a Prime Minister actually used 15th August and the Red Fort to talk about Balochistan. Also, how do you see this impacting Pakistan's interference in Kashmir? I'm sitting in Srinagar here. The day began with a militant encounter. The evening has ended with another civilian killing. The fact is there a risk in using Balochistan and saying Balochistan every time Pakistan says Kashmir? Is there a risk inherent in that approach?
I would not think we are so unsophisticated to use this as tit for tat. Barkha, remember, Pakistan is having serious problems not just in Balochistan. They are having serious problems where their Zarb-e-Azab has flopped, where they have deployed some 80,000 troops, rendered almost a million people homeless. So I think they used air power both in Balochistan and here. They've used area weapons. So I think, let's be very clear, that Pakistan is tying itself into knots. It has serious problems with Afghanistan. For the first time, Afghanistan is now actively questioning the whole concept of a Durand line. What position we take on the Durand line will depend on how circumstances evolve. So we are into an evolving situation. But the quest, I always believe, should be for better relations with Pakistan. Let us see how this works out. I'm sure if there are not direct contacts, there will be ways of conveying to each other between us and Pakistan how we feel. And lastly, I was very impressed by the support the Congress party has given to this, which means that they have also thought it through after the all-party meeting. And it is good on issues like this to have a domestic political consensus. Jammu and Kashmir, I'll talk about.
And also, of course, after the Congress's Sharm el Sheikh fiasco, it's a comeback also from that.
I'm not going into that, because right now we have a consensus and nobody is sort of finding fault.
Fair enough. Let me get Sambit and Junaid now into the conversation before we get Hamal Baloch and Daniel Aziz. Sambit, the question becomes whether Narendra Modi, the Prime Minister, and Jammu and Kashmir Chief Minister Mehbooba Mufti are in fact talking in one voice, because Mehbooba Mufti in her speech is still calling for friendship with Pakistan as a key ingredient of peace in Kashmir. So if you look at the two speeches, the allies don't necessarily seem to be on the same page, Sambit.
No, Barkha, I disagree with you. If you look into the whole speech of the Prime Minister, that the Prime Minister, while reflecting upon the foreign policy, began his speech by saying that how I wish that all our SAARC friends, including Pakistan, would not fight amongst each other, but rather fight against poverty, because that is the real enemy. And he shared, I mean, he had always said, maintained, that right from the very beginning, he had extended hands of friendship. And in fact, we had seen as to how Nawaz Sharif was invited for his swearing-in ceremony, and how he had visited for a marriage ceremony in Nawaz's place. But the issue is, despite all this, what came out was a flop show from Pakistan, and that is the reason as to why the answers have to be given to Pakistan in a befitting way. To say that Indian dispensation at the center and the government in Jammu and Kashmir are not speaking in the same line is not true. The lines are same, that, well, yes, we need to have good relationship, but that does not mean that we will not show mirror to Pakistan when Pakistan misfires.
Let me see if the National Conference agrees. Junaid, let me bring you in. You know, there was a lot of speculation as to why the National Conference was not present at the Bakshi Stadium when Mehbooba Mufti spoke. But going beyond that, I want to ask you how you see the Prime Minister bringing up Balochistan at the Red Fort. He did not mention Kashmir except to obliquely say that young men who picked up the gun should return to the mainstream.
Well, that very fact is extremely dangerous and incendiary. It will further worsen the situation in Kashmir. That the Prime Minister showed Insaniyat and Jamhuriyat, the slogan of Insaniyat and Jamhuriyat was focused towards Balochistan, but ironically not towards the Kashmir Valley. I will not comment on the Balochistan issue. I will not negate their issue with the Kashmir issue. And I hope the fellow Balochi panel, a panelist on your TV show, will understand that you can't negate one political issue with another. Between, in between two narratives, let us also understand that the situation in Kashmir is very grim. And Mr. Parthasarathy said that this is not a tit for tat and we are not that unsophisticated. But quite frankly, sitting in Kashmir, seeing how the situation is worsening, you know, we're getting into the second month of a curfew. And this was an opportunity for the Prime Minister to reach out to the people of Kashmir and in doing so show his magnanimity and sense of security and tell them that I am willing to address your sentiments, your causes of alienation, and I am committed to finding a peaceful solution, peaceful and sustainable solution. But what we heard was Balochistan. Now, I don't grudge the people of Balochistan the magnanimity of the Prime Minister. But the fact of the matter is, the political situation in Kashmir has nothing to do with the political situation in Balochistan. While raking up the Balochistan issue might be a diplomatic or a strategic tit for tat, a counter strategy, it changes absolutely nothing on ground zero in Kashmir Valley. And if you can't set your own house in order and you want to go and represent these values and ethics in Balochistan, how are you any different from the country that you're standing to criticize?
My God, Barkha, I really need to come in over here.
Yeah, 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 but
no, this.
But I was going to rebut.
This last line was absolutely condescending.
I was going to rebut Junaid myself.
No, I want to rebut first. Let me have the honor of rebutting Junaid first, and thereafter you can follow it. I mean, I'm absolutely appalled by the fact that when we have a Pakistani guest on the panel, my esteemed friend from National Conference, an important political party in the country, goes ahead to say, today on the Independence Day, that how different is the Indian Prime Minister from the Pakistani counterpart? My friend, when you're comparing Insaniyat, when you're comparing Jamhuriyat with Kashmir and Balochistan, do not forget. Just a second.
I don't need to flex my muscles in front of the Pakistani panelists. You can do that.
Just a second.
I represent the situation in Kashmir on this panel.
Can I complete, sir? Can I expect some courtesy? I was not interjecting.
You're misquoting me.
Let Samvit complete.
Can I please? When you are comparing Kashmir with Balochistan, which you are trying to do your best over here, remember two things. Number one, Kashmir is an integral part of India. There is no dispute on that.
I am not doing that.
As far as Balochistan is concerned, please let me complete. Please let me complete, sir. As far as Balochistan is concerned, Balochistan never signed an accord
when
to
did I compare Balochistan with Kashmir?
That's what you have been doing. That when the Prime Minister speaks about Balochistan,
you need to understand.
Kashmir,
you need to get used to
the nuanced arguments.
Samvit,
You are absolutely shouting and I can't follow your arguments. Barkha, I was not shouting when Junaid was speaking. And that's the reason why I called for courtesy. I can't even follow you if you all shout.
I can't follow this conversation if you all shout together. So I request one at a time. Now Junaid says he was not doing that. So we will allow him to clarify that, and then we will go to Pawan Varma. And Sambit, I promise you can rebut him again if you need to. Junaid, very briefly a clarification. The Prime Minister never said this is my retaliation to Kashmir. He did not mention Kashmir. The fact is, if you're saying you can't keep your own house in order, why talk about Balochistan? That's exactly what Pakistan does. Look at the rigged elections in POK. Look at the human rights violations in Balochistan. Where is Pakistan keeping its own house in order, Junaid, that you would say that last sentence? So, quick clarification, then Pawan Varma. Yes.
So in fighting Pakistan, does this central government aspire to be like Pakistan in its diplomatic policy, this paradigm shift in its foreign policy? All I am saying is that when the situation internally is so awry, everything in Kashmir is anything but normal, why couldn't we find a mention in the Prime Minister's speech proportionate to the gravity of the situation in the valley? But Balochistan was a priority. We all know. I mean, the Prime Minister did not say this is a tit for tat or this is a counter strategy, but we all know what it is. Let us not insult each other. We all know what it is. And I don't want to get into that. Let New Delhi do that. But please address the situation in Kashmir. Please address the situation in Kashmir.
Okay. Now requesting Junaid and Sambit to calm down so we get the others, and then I'll come back to you.
Pawan Varma, go ahead. Calm, Barkha. I was always calm. I was not interjecting when Junaid.
Okay.
Can I just use 20 seconds since Junaid had interrupted? I'll just use 20 seconds. Pawan, and then you.
Sambit, Pawan, and then you. I promise you. Pawan, go ahead.
Okay.
Pawan, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, Barkha, two or three things quickly. First, I think that Pakistan has crossed a certain Rubicon in terms of the sheer flamboyance with which it is publicly assertive in its intervention in Jammu Kashmir. I believe it's unprecedented for a Pakistani ambassador based in New Delhi to say in Indian territory and soil that this Independence Day will be commemorated for the independence of Jammu Kashmir, which is an integral part of India, of to which he is an envoy from Pakistan. It's unprecedented. And the manner in which the Pakistani leadership has now been saying that it would intervene in Jammu Kashmir, I think the time has come. The time has come for us to speak far more openly, overtly, aggressively, and with the right level of emphasis on what is going on in Pakistan-occupied Kashmir, and also to take into account Balochistan. I think we have been far too reticent in this matter. But my second point, and very quickly I'll finish now, my second point is that I hope this government will be able to stay the course on this. Because my worry is that a statement is made which is then retracted, if not in actual articulation, but in policy and in practice. So if they should embed it in a strategic framework, and I'm glad that it is happening. And lastly, let us not confuse the fact of what we are saying about Pakistan with the fact that the situation in the valley is in unpardonable drift. And for that, the PDP, BJP government, and the BJP government at the center must take responsibility. They have allowed this situation
to
happen. And while we should deal with Pakistan appropriately, we need to do much more with our own people in Jammu Kashmir in terms of a thought-out political roadmap, which has not been seen in spite of an 11-page agenda for alliance, which mentioned precisely the things which have not been done.
Okay. Now let me just bring in Daniel Aziz. Okay, 20 seconds, then Daniel Aziz and Hamal Baloch. Sambit, your 20 seconds.
Since we have an erudite speaker in the panel, my humble submission would be we should divorce Balochistan from the issue of Kashmir. These are two separate problems, and when we name both these issues in the same breath, it is only condescending in the sense that Kashmir is an integral part of India. We should never forget that. As far as Balochistan is concerned, they have a pending problem. They have humanity problem also, human right problem as well, which we have to address. So we should never utter these two words together. Kashmir issue, we will discuss in the domestic way, I believe.
Okay. Okay, all right. Now, let me just get Pakistani reactions and also the Baluchi leader. Daniel Aziz, the fact is, as Pawan Verma said, unprecedented. Pakistan's envoy to India, Abdul Basit, on Indian soil, linking and brazenly talking about Kashmir on Pakistan's own national day. The fact of the matter is, you're hardly in a position now to complain that India has gone public with its offensive on Baluchistan and is highlighting to the world the atrocities there.
Well, I'm sorry. First of all, you're technically incorrect because the embassy in any other country is considered the land and property of the country whose embassy it is. So, first of all, technically, that's an incorrect analysis. All and secondly, I'd like to say that on the one hand, all of the people that I've heard just now speaking on your program, it seems to me that there is a very strong recognition that the term that was used is that Pakistan is tying itself into knots because there's displaced people and that Pakistan is surmounting casualties from its war on terror. In the same breath, they're saying that Pakistan is actually intervening in Kashmir when there's absolutely no evidence for that. In fact, Pakistan has made giant strides and moved from...
Mr. Aziz, allow me to... I'm sorry, you didn't interrupt anyone else. Please allow me. How much more evidence do you want, sir? Okay, complete your point. Please allow me. Okay, sure.
You hadn't interrupted anyone else. I would request for the same courtesy. In that case, what I'd like to also say is that Pakistan has made giant strides in withstanding the adventures, I would say, of the new BJP government who wanted to change the status of Kashmir. Instead of being able to change the status, which is on page 7 of their manifesto,
how has the government done that? Please allow me to finish the sentence.
Maybe you'll understand. So what I'm explaining to you is that in order to change the status of Kashmir under the Indian Constitution, you need to pass a resolution from the Kashmir Assembly. They tried to get a majority, they couldn't do it. And in order to do that, they raised the stakes and the temperature on the Pakistan working boundary, which is my constituency, and they were shelling it to try and raise the fever of Hindu nationalism so that that could bring them pressure at the ballot box. Allow me to finish, please. And instead of successfully doing that, can I show him some proof as to how Pakistan has intervened in Kashmir? I didn't interrupt anyone. I expect the same courtesy. If my time is over, I can go quiet. If not, I'd like to complete my sentence.
You have been interrupting Kashmir.
Okay, one minute.
About courtesies. You have been very courteous. I would like
Mr. Aziz, for you to hear what Hamal Baloch has to say. Let him come in and then you can complete your point. Hamal Baloch,
Can I finish my sentence, please? And then you can go to whoever you like.
Your one sentence.
And what I would like to say is that rather than appreciating that Pakistan is surmounting a huge war against terrorism, to come back and say that India is now putting notches on their rifle trying to show their terrorism credentials in Balochistan is really sad. And this is what Ajit Doval has been promoting globally. That it's a question of funding terrorism
but
to blacken the eye of Pakistan
when Pakistan is acting responsibly. Mr. Aziz, now you have completed your sentence. Hamal Baloch, I have questions to ask you, but I let Hamal Baloch come in. Hamal Baloch, go ahead.
Well, I would like to say that Pakistan is committing worst kind of humanitarian crimes in Balochistan. And the point is, Pakistan is also promoting Islamic extremism in Balochistan, and we all know that Pakistan is good at supporting religious extremism in other places as well. And if we see in the history, it supported Islamic groups in Afghanistan, and in the past, Pakistan directly intervened in Kashmir and other places. So I think Pakistan has been involved suppressing other people, and I deeply respect Kashmiri. Friend who said about Kashmir's situation. We respect Kashmiri.
Okay. Let me just get one question to Danial Aziz, and then I will come back to G. Parthasarathy. We lost the Skype line there to Hamal Baloch. We'll get it up again. Danial Aziz, while you said a lot of things about India, you did not answer me on Hafiz Saeed, on Syed Salahuddin, on the Hizbul Mujahideen and the training camps there, on terrorists coming together to commemorate Burhan Wani. Our Prime Minister also spoke about how India empathized with children coming under a terror strike in Peshawar, but Pakistan chose to glorify a terrorist. Now, you please respond. What is Hafiz Saeed for the Nawaz Sharif government, sir?
Hafiz Saeed has
and
been
what
under
happened
arrest.
To the perpetrator of the carnage in Mumbai?
I can answer
yes.
you one at
Mumbai,
a time, please, if you don't mind. Yeah,
yes,
one at
go
a time,
ahead.
Please, if
yes,
you don't
Mr.
mind. In
All
the
right.
case of Hafiz Saeed, he has been under arrest for a better part of a year and a half. And the courts have continuously requested, and government of Pakistan, look, I'm not here to be cowed down or been rude to, okay? If you want to conduct yourself in a manner that's commensurate with this program, that's fine. If not, I don't need to be here. Please.
No, please answer the question. Nobody's interrupting you. Go
yes,
ahead,
I'm trying. I'm trying. I don't need to be made a joke of or laughed at. I don't do that to anyone else. So what I'm trying to explain to you, and these are facts, you can check them, please. Yes, he has been under arrest, and Pakistan takes that very seriously. As you know, Malik Isaak, one of the others who have been accused, was recently killed with all of his family and other cohorts that were traveling with him at the time. There's many other instances where Pakistan has, in the south part of Punjab, taken on big operations against and coping operations across even the working boundary, which is my constituency, and other places. So the Pakistan okay. is in a complete effort from all of its areas okay. to clean up terrorism. It's got new laws. All of the parties okay. have commended okay. the effort of Zarbe Azam. We are trying our best. And to turn around and try and say that the internal disturbance in Kashmir is Pakistan's fault is something that's outrageous.
I need to go to the others now.
Can I ask two questions to Mr. Daniel, if you permit, Barkha?
Can I ask a question?
Okay, Samit, go ahead.
Just two questions. Two factual questions, Mr. Daniel. Mr. Daniel, two questions. And I quote from your newspaper.
My name is Daniel, please.
Danial, okay, Danial Aziz, what's your name anyway? You have to take the question. The question is, I pick it from the Dawn newspaper, and you wanted proof as to how Pakistan is infiltrating into Kashmir. Now, there is a news article, February 2nd, 2016, that Pakistan panel to Sharif government, don't back terror groups in Kashmir. And there was a parliamentary panel by Pakistan, headed by Awais Ahmed Lagari, who is the member of the ruling party, and he submitted a four-page document okay. to Nawaz Sharif. And let me read out the first line. He says, Pakistan should not encourage calls for active support of armed, banned militant groups in Kashmir. Now, this is the opening line of your own parliamentary panel. And you want a proof. Now, second proof from the Dawn paper again. This is on November 18, 2014. Okay, and I would request the camera person to please zoom it. Militants not dangerous to Pakistan should not be targeted. Sartaj Aziz. Sartaj Aziz is to the point on your own newspaper when addressing your conference that the militants which are not dangerous to Pakistan are to be spared. He goes ahead
okay,
to say,
Mr. Aziz, I need to go to the others. Okay, quick word from Danial Aziz, and I need to go to the others for final comments. Danial Aziz.
I would like you to know that I'm a part of the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs of the National Parliament, of which Awais Lagari is the chairperson. And we have been part of drafting this recommendations that are being mentioned. And to my mind, being part of that process, I would honorably request you to please see this as a rising evidence of our responsible behavior and our ability to try and move to a situation where there is a confidence that Pakistan is not involved in these things.
Well, okay,
so
I'm going to park
Pakistan
that there because we never actually going to agree.
Armed groups.
We're never going to agree. We are never going to agree on this, so let's leave it there and go to Ambassador Parthasarathy. Thank you, Danial, for your interventions. Ambassador Parthasarathy.
Thank you very much.
Yes, well, firstly, I respect an elected representative, but sadly, policy and covert activities in Pakistan are not determined, unfortunately, by elected politicians, but by the military. And I have lived 5.5 years in Pakistan through Kargil to know that. And as I said, I respect the elected leader. Now, the fact of the matter is, leave aside what we are saying, 3 days ago, the American commander, General Nicholson, in Afghanistan was here.
Yes.
You are a major non-NATO ally. We are not an ally. And he made it very clear that the Pakistan ISI, he said it in public, it's all over the world media, was backing the Haqqani network in Afghanistan while pretending to fight radicalism in Afghanistan, while pretending to fight radicalism in Pakistan. He went and added also that they were aware of the Lashkar-e-Taiba's activities in India. Now, as for Hafiz Saeed being under arrest, I can't understand how a man is in mourning in Islamabad and in the evening in Muzaffarabad and still being under arrest. That's a joke.
Yeah.
So let's be very, very clear. It's not India. It is the U.S. Senate, based on evidence. And incidentally, they have also given us the audio tapes they have of the involvement of Pakistan military in the Pathankot attack. So let's be real and live in a real world. So, as I said, I respect an elected leader.
Now,
but you don't determine policy.
Where does this
leave? I know. Yeah. You didn't know about the Kargil intrusion.
Yeah.
Your Prime Minister told us when I was there as High Commissioner.
Okay,
what are you talking about?
I want to go to Junaid. Okay, I want to just bring Junaid and Pawan on where this leaves the India-Pakistan policy and what impact that might have here on the Valley. Junaid and then Pawan Varma, and then we'll. I also want another comment from Hamal, but Junaid, go ahead.
Well, I mean, as far as Kashmir is concerned, the Prime Minister's speech has further worsened the sense of alienation on the ground. That is my perception of it. And then I am but an individual. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, you are in Srinagar and you see how the situation, the status quo continues. And there is this continued lack of acknowledgement from New Delhi that what we are dealing with in Kashmir is an indigenous, robust political sentiment, and while other people
also
might
with a Pakistan
be exploiting
dimension,
the political sentiment,
Junaid, also with a Pakistan
while
dimension,
other people,
let's not pretend the Pakistan dimension doesn't
both
exist,
internal,
please.
both. If you let me complete, that is what I was trying to get to. Both with an internal and an external dimension, I am sure that there will be a real political exploitation by the neighbors. But the fact of the matter is, and I keep saying this, Kashmiris would espouse a political sentiment with or without Pakistan, with or without the separatist leadership. Until and unless we realize that, nothing in Kashmir will change. And if you look at Mehbooba Mufti's speech today, or their agenda of alliance with the BJP, it's all about bringing New Delhi and Islamabad closer, but with this new level of rhetoric, where as you've rightly said, that, you know, the Kashmir bullet has been returned by the Balochistan bomb. How are the alliance goals not at a complete contradiction to each other? How will New Delhi and Islamabad come closer to each other when they start irritating each other beyond any precedented levels?
I'll get Sambit to come in just a moment. Pawan Varma, go ahead.
Very quickly, Barkha. I don't believe that the situation in Jammu Kashmir can put in watertight compartments what is happening within the state and Pakistan's involvement there. And I think that attempt should not be made. There is a linkage. But at the same time, I want to make the point that the legitimate emphasis on a new assertion towards Pakistan's complicity in the military, in the terrorism in Jammu Kashmir, should not become a reason for us not to focus on what also needs to be done in Jammu Kashmir. We need development. We need a political roadmap. We need an engagement. We need dialogue with our own people. So the two should not be one for the other, but there is a linkage. And my worry today is that a very legitimate attack on Pakistan with a new assertiveness may divert all attention to making Pakistan the focus of attack, without our also pursuing a parallel political process, which once again provides that hope and confidence and a sense of involvement to the people of Jammu and Kashmir, who are our own people.
I think that's well said, and let me get Sambit to respond. Also, I'm wondering if Hamal's line is back. But Sambit, go ahead.
The first I was listening to Junaid, and when Junaid says that the alliance ambitions and the alliance goals between PDP and Bharatiya Janata Party is something which is responsible for the problem of Kashmir now, I would be appalled, because it's not that because PDP and BJP has
that.
Come to together to form the government.
I never said
the
that.
Reason for Kashmir problem. Just a second, Junaid.
I never said that, and I interrupt because Junaid, I didn't say that, Sambit. I didn't say that.
Junaid, let me complete.
Correct yourself.
Junaid,
I didn't say
complete.
That. But I
well,
didn't say
well,
that.
You can correct me, but let
don't fabricate your arguments on lies, Sambit. Don't fabricate your argument on lies.
Let me complete. Barkha, you have to anchor the show. You should not allow others to interrupt. Now, can I complete? It's not a rocket science. Not only Junaid, but Omar Abdullah also, and the Congress party also, has been maintaining that part of the problem in Kashmir is because of the fact that PDP and BJP have formed an alliance. And remember the famous statement of Mr. Azad in the floor of the parliament, saying that for 200 to 300 years, people of the valley would not be accepting BJP. That was clearly communalizing the whole issue. Because the valley and Jammu votes in a separate way, you just cannot say that BJP would not be an acceptable force in Valley for 200 to 300 years to come. That's a wrong statement.
Okay.
And secondly, when Pawan speaks of development,
okay.
I agree with Pawan. I agree with Pawan that development is the need of our. But does Mr. Omar Abdullah or Junaid agree? They say no. It is beyond development. Development is not the issue. Because when it is the issue of development, it is
political
either Mr. Omar Abdullah, because three generations. Three
it
generations.
Is not only about
just a second.
You
three
cannot
just,
throw money at a political
we had
issue.
A political We had a political engagement only day before yesterday, sir. We had a political engagement where all parties
with who?
Sat together.
With who? You didn't even invite the main opposition party of J&K. You didn't even invite the main opposition party
sir,
of J&K.
You were invited
who?
For the
People
independence
who can't spot
J&K on a map, which you chose to come
okay,
on.
Okay, that's it.
Come
so,
on.
That's it. That is it.
What
that is
on,
it.
Mr.
That
Junaid.
Is it, guys.
Yeah.
That is it, guys.
Political gains.
Yeah.
You
Let's
just cannot
here.
Do away with the issues which are at hand.
Okay.
Very
listen,
good all
listen,
party
listen,
meeting.
Listen. I think as everybody, as the wise Ambassador Partha Sarthi has said, there is a separate conversation that Delhi needs to have with Srinagar. And Sambit, with all humility, I would say that there is I'm here on the ground and political engagement is needed, but there is a tectonic shift that has taken place in India's foreign policy today by going on the offensive in Balochistan. These two things have happened on parallel tracks. Let's agree on that. Let's leave it there. Ambassador Partha Sarthi, Pawan Varma, Junaid Matu,
Sambit
Patra.
May I add
I'm
one,
very sorry
Barkha,
to
may I add one little
Thank
thing?
You.
Okay.
I believe that dialogue, an internal dialogue is necessary. But Barkha, I have handled insurgencies everywhere in the Northeast. These contacts to deal with insurgencies are kept under the wraps. I hope that is done. And we contact everybody, but under the wraps. Because publicly you are going to achieve nothing. That's a process which should continue parallel. And the other point is, wherever anybody may say, you have an elected, constitutionally elected government in Jammu and Kashmir. Please show respect. Lastly, this is not a Kashmir issue. It is an issue just of Kashmiris. This is an issue of Jammu and Kashmir, which is a pluralistic society.
Yeah.
You have to take everyone along.
Very true.
Okay, sir.
Very true.
Okay, I have to leave it there. Thank you so much, Sambit, sure. Ambassador Partha Sarthi, Pawan Varma, Junaid Matu, and Daniel Aziz. And sorry to lose the line to Hamal Haider Baloch. We will get him back on another program. Thank you very much.